In the book of Exodus, in the 16th chapter, in the 18th verse, when the nation of Israel had gathered what God had given to them in terms of manna, it says, when they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. There is a way by which God provides directly, and then there is a way by which God provides indirectly. One, he does directly. The source is in him. The other one, he does indirectly, but he does it through the instrumental agency of others, even though he is the source of it. The Apostle Paul learned tremendously how to be interdependent, not independent, but interdependent when it came to God providing through people. And this is a tremendous example of humility of the Apostle Paul, for him to show himself to be interdependent, even though he was totally dependent on God, to be interdependent on the body of Christ. That's why I am thankful for the ministry that we are a part of, because we get an opportunity to live in this exchange life. You know, there is a kind of pride that is associated with independence. The ultimate reality or the end of such a condition is despair. One of the fundamental attacks that we can experience from time to time is an attack against the body of Christ, but not just the body of Christ, but individuals in the body of Christ. I want to say something that is important here, because in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verses 13, 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul is saying to, in relationship, he's writing to the Corinthians in terms of the Macedonian saints, and he's saying, the reason why we have this life that we give when there is need and we receive when we have need is by way of equality. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 13, 14. And then he quotes Exodus chapter 16, verse 18. When we look at how this building was constructed, we are in awe by what God has basically done. Yes? Yes or no? And is there going to be a difference between us participating in worship here and us participating in worship down? There's not going to be a difference. In fact, the flaws of the worship team will be evident first. Because for the first time, you will hear the angels singing with them. I want to say a few things, and then I want to not take a long time, but I want to see this. There is a tremendous lack that is there as a result of our relationship in Adam, and then there is a tremendous lack in terms of our relationship with God, in terms of coming short of God's provisions, and in terms of the things that we will experience in the call of God. In the book of Romans, in the 3rd chapter, in the 23rd verse, it says, all have come short of the glory of God. Every one of us have come short of the glory of God. The verb H-U-S-T-E-R-E-O, which means, is very important word. It means to come short of, to come short of, to just miss the mark. That is what the word sin is. So there is a tremendous lack there, a standard which we could not have met because we are sinners, And therefore, every one of us, Paul concludes this in the book of Romans, where all of us have come short of the glory of God. That lack could never have been filled by any man apart from you and I receiving the free gift of God's righteousness through the grace that was given to us in Christ. No one was able to be able to bridge that gap. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, in the 4th chapter, in the 1st verse, it comes as a warning. And it says that, take heed lest a promise remains of entering into this rest, lest a person fall short because of unbelief. What is it? Lest a promise remains of entering into his rest, lest anyone come short of, through what? Unbelief. That is the verb, H-U-S-T-E-R-E-O, to come short of because of unbelief. That means these individuals were not in a place of experiencing what God had determined for them, because they did not add faith, mix faith with what was spoken to them. Therefore, they fell short of that rest that God had promised them. Think about this. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, in the 12th chapter, in the 15th verse, not to fall short of the grace of God, or to come short of it, so that a root of bitterness can spring up. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the 29th chapter, the root of bitterness there, as it was spoken of, is a person who is infected. He has an infection. And so the root of bitterness is not something that is springing out from the ground upwards that defiles, but it is a person in the midst of the assembly that has an infection that defiles. When people do not receive their provision from God through grace, then the infections of the old life have the possibility of defiling people when they do not receive the provisions of the new life in Christ. Israel as a nation was constantly cumbered about by a group of people that were murmuring all the time. I mean, these people were a test case to Moses, and they were a test case to the other people in the congregation. No matter what happened, no matter how much God did, they would always murmur all the time. What did they come short of? They came short of the grace of God. In what sense? They refused to accept God's provision. They refused to have God be their source. And therefore, an infection of some kind was manifested itself, wherein which it often broke up in like a mob mentality from time to time. And God would have to deal with that infection, because this infection was not just in terms of a disagreement, but it was an infection sometimes of a rebellious nature. That means this infection could spread into such a way that it would form a kind of a confederacy of people that would enter into some form of rebellion. Why did they enter into this form of rebellion? Why was there this root of bitterness that sprung up? Simply because they did not receive the grace of God. They did not know how to come to their source, was God. And if they did, they did not acknowledge Him as such. So we have, number one, all of us, as we go back, all of us have fallen short of the grace of God. But thanks be to God, we have received the gift of righteousness. We are saved by grace, and therefore we have received the gift of righteousness. Therefore, that falling short has been completely and dealt with by the perfections of Christ. And in Christ, we share all His merit. all his merit, the obedience of the Son has been imputed to us as a gift through righteousness. So we share in the merits of Christ once and for all. It is ours, it is imputed to us, it is charged to account. We have it once and for all unto finality or unto eternity. The nation of Israel were not able to enter into his rest because not that God was unable to deliver them, it is simply because they refused to enter in. And the reason why they refused to enter in is because they did not believe his word. In the book of Hebrews, in the 3rd and 4th chapter, we have the history of their wilderness wanderings, and 3 things are mentioned. Number 1, an erring heart. Number 2, a hardened heart. And number 3, an evil and an unbelieving heart. In 3:19 of the book of Hebrews, it says, and they did not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief, simple unbelief, hinders people from entering into what God has promised for them. They simply will not accept God as their source. Now, when people know that they are living dishonestly before God, when people know that they are living dishonestly before God, I'm talking of an individual relationship with God now, and they will not hearken unto the reproof that comes from the word of God. They do not hearken unto the reproof that comes from the word of God. They don't have a provision to be restored, even if they would want to, apart from the grace of God. Let me say it again, in another way. Pure human volition of a mental assent is incapable of delivering me from my condition. Pure human assent is incapable of delivering me from my condition, because my condition has gone from willful disobedience to rebellion. When there is a consistent hearkening of the word of God to an individual person, and that individual person does not hearken unto God, he goes or she goes from persistence, willful, it's willful now, it goes from sin into transgression, there is willful. This person, even though they want to change, they will not be able to change unless they come to a place where they become a recipient of the grace. That means human ability will not be able to restore them unless they come to the place where they receive grace from God. And that grace from God cannot be received unless they come to a place of humility before God. But a person must be willing to accept their condition of arrogance. Now, very often, this condition of arrogance is covered by human good. People get into a works program of human good. They'll try and do things for people. They'll give gifts. They'll do this. All the time as they begin to do that, they are hiding their inward heart's rebellion, and they are rebelling, not at the table, not at the table of organization. They are in direct rebellion against the word and the government of God's grace that is actually wanting to set them free from their condition. So what happens to this kind of individual? A root of bitterness springs up. Meaning what? Now they have an infection, and that infection has the possibility of getting other people to kind of be partakers of in that infection. It happened in Numbers 13 and 14, where 10 people were able to contaminate an entire nation of over 1 million people. And 2 people's testimony about the possibility of going in the land and defeating the giants was drowned completely because of the infection that was there with the 10. So there is a conflict that is on. There is a battle that is raging. It's a battle between who we are in Christ and who we were in Adam. Let me say it again. It's a battle against who we were in Adam and who we are in Christ. It's not against who we were in Christ and who we are in Adam. Let me say it again. The battle that we will have at all times is about who we were in Adam but who we are not in Christ. Who I was in Adam is not who I am now. Who I am in Christ is a new creation, completely different from who I was in Adam. So we have this aspect of it here. So a person we universally have come short of God's glory, but we have been now been given that glory that we will share in future and eternity, but we become partakers of it. In 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. So then there is a possibility of coming short of the rest that God promises. There's a possibility of coming. And why is it that we come short of that rest in Matthew 11, 28, 29, 30? Because we simply don't want to come to the person who is rest. Come to me all that you are, what? Weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We don't go to him. We try and go to someone else. To some person or to something or to some situation to sublimate, hoping and thinking that will be my release. Think about it today. Third thing is, in the third case, we have, what do we have? We have the glory, we have the rest, and we have the grace. What did Pastor Love say on Sunday evening in the brief moment regarding this verse? No one missed grace in the camp, in the youth camp in Europe. No one missed, come short is to miss it completely. The fourth important point is that in 1 Corinthians 12:24, when people come into the body of Christ, some body members are weak. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:24 that they lack honor, value. It is very important in that case for the stronger members of the body to bestow on them, it says, more abundant honor. 1 Corinthians 12:24. And it says, God has so tempered the body, tempered, mixed it in such a way that the person who has more honor bestows it on the one that has, that lacks. That's what it says. Which means what? Every believer has the ability to disciple another believer. Every believer has something to impart to another person. So when a person comes into the body of Christ and is weak and is vulnerable, has a poor self-image, filled with insecurities, lives in condemnation or whatever it is, that person has the ability to be completely and totally transformed by the value that is placed upon him or her in the measure that has been understood by the value that has been placed on us by Christ. Are you awake today? Think about it. It is possible. We cannot come short of the glory of God anymore. That is a done deal in opposition. But we can come short of His promise. We have come short of His rest. We can come short of His grace. In our experience, we can even become indifferent towards people that maybe don't seemingly have much to contribute, because in the Darwinism of our day in the church, there is only the survival of the fittest. And if you read the book of Jeremiah in verse 23 and Ezekiel 34 and Jeremiah 20, you will see how the shepherds are being indicted by the prophets because they are only feeding the fatted ones in the flock and they are not taking care of the weaker ones and the sickly ones in the flock. Which means I am so preoccupied with my support group in my Christianity and those people that I can only familiarize myself with because I'm comfortable around them, that I am indifferent towards those people that really have a need. Now we all shake our heads, but we basically, the moment we leave this door and we go out, we go and do our own things there, and it is as if the word was never spoken from this pulpit. People go out and then I talk to them. Like we talk to ourselves in the word, but they will simply not accept their condition because they refuse to go to the source. Because if they go to the source, they will know exactly what God will say. If I go to God, I am I'm deficient in an area of my life and I choose not to get right with God. If I have to go to God, God will not show me something about the plan that He has for me in the future. God will show me what is deficient in, so that He would want me to be restored in that area that I am deficient in. But that thing is, if I refuse to go to God who is the source, then that area that I am deficient in can become like a root of bitterness. Sometimes a person will say, you know, I'm not just getting victory in this area. What they are saying is, in another translation, which is the New American Standard, I refuse victory in that area. There is a difference between me wanting victory and me refusing victory. You know, if I want victory, God may deliver me through a painful process. If I want victory, God may deliver me through a painful process, but I do not want the pain in the process. I do not want the paiduo or the discipline of the word. I do not want the discipline of the word in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. I do not want the discipline of grace. Even though I love grace, I don't want the discipline of it in Titus 2:12. And I don't want the discipline of love in Hebrews 12:6. We said these three things on Sunday. I don't want these forms of discipline, but I want my victory. God says no. Victory will come if you learn the disciplines, because you are placed in the adult in the family of God, huiotesia. You are adopted into the family of God as an adult son. Therefore, these forms of discipline is something that you and I will be subject to at all points of time, irrespective of whether a person is a pastor, a leader, or a person in the body of Christ. So we have here something that is there. There are people that lack honor. They lack it. They just think that to have honor is to be in an honorable position. They don't understand to have honor is to be in union with God through Christ. Let me say it again. They think to have honor is to be in an honorable position. When you are summoned to a court of law and you are asked to speak, you say to the judge, what do you say? Huh? That judge is sitting down there. He's like, honor. He's like Lord and all. He's like, all yes. Huh? Honor is not because I am in an honorable situation. I may or may not be honor is because of the value that has been conferred upon us by Christ. You know how much of healing there can be in the body? Relationships. That's why I tell people and I beseech them. I have no problem with what people do behind when they go out of this door. I don't control their lives. But they will not simply allow God to prove their relationships in the body of Christ. What happens as a result? There is no witness in their relationship. There was a girl in a ministry here. She is not here anymore. She said, before she disappeared, I will only marry someone if there is a witness in the body and if my pastor has a witness. Now the pastor is not God. Those words were written like Job said, I wish those words were written with an iron stylus. And they disappeared. Why? When the hubby came, the bubby went. I'm learning all these words in homiletics. Alliteration and all these big words I never knew. I studied it before, but I'm now rhyming them. What is it that a person, and nothing wrong with them, they have a right to make their own decisions. Do you know the thought patterns that can take me over? In 2 Corinthians 10, 4-6, do you know the warfare in the human mind? Do you know the attacks that come upon the human mind from the atmosphere? The kind of crazy stuff that the evil, wicked, malignant, vicious, unclean spirits project to us? Do you know that? When you're saved, your mind becomes the 70mm screen. Everything becomes amplified. And you ask the question to yourself, how can I even think of these things? Where are these things coming from? I must be one of the most wicked men that is on planet Earth. Well, I have news for you and me. Read Romans 7 and you'll be comforted. If the apostle of grace to the Gentile world was struggling with some of the things that he considered to be evil, which he did, but we are on pretty good ground. We must discern where these thoughts come from. Because these thoughts that are projected from the atmosphere find its corresponding effect in a human need that is locked up in our old sin nature. It might not be sinful, rooted in the sin nature, but it might be rooted in us as individuals who are weak. And when those projections from the air connect with those things that are rooted in us, if they are in our lust patterns, or if they are connected with the weaknesses of the human body, immediately we, through our volition, because we have no capacity to discern where these thoughts are coming from, we are not connected to our source, or if we know our source, we are ignorant of what is really going on, we give in because of this tremendous attack that is coming in. And we, possibly at that time, if we don't accept our death, burial, and resurrection, or co-crucifixion with Christ, will be available to a source outside of God in order for that need to be met through that connection. I hope I'm clear about what I'm saying. This is not carnal Christianity. This is Christianity that is on the battleground. This is warfare. The devil does not want the believer to know that having come short of the glory of God is not the issue of a believer anymore, because he has been positionally perfected because of his union with Christ, with Christ in God. But he does not want the believer to experience rest. He does not want the believer to know that there is a grace that the believer need not come short of. He wants the believer to merit it instead of it be freely given. He does not want the believer to know that there is an honor code in the body of Christ, that a person can come gloriously, be saved, and come into the body of Christ and receive a calling that is high, holy, and heavenly, and live in the eternal ease of God at the present moment. He does not want that person to know that. And as the body on the earth, which is the mystery of God, which is the body of Christ, which is living with indifference, careless, not concerned about each time they congregate and meet together. It's like just another day, it's just another worship service, it's just another message, and they continue to go on without living in the anticipation of experiencing something dynamic from God. There were times when I was in Bible school and Dr. Stevens would pray and believe for a revival. He would pray, he would believe. And when you were in a close circle and you were with him, he would believe, and he would hope it was tonight. And then he would hope it was the next Sunday morning, and he would hope. And he was doing everything in his power, but he just knew that there was something. And then one day, boom, it would come. And then that was awesome. And then people would get excited for a season, and then, you know, the kind of temperature would come down and back to square one again. And he used to believe God. He used to pray. He used to call us before the service. Can you pray for 15 minutes? Can you? He would say, he would wait. He believed. Because of the lives of people, because of the shipwrecked conditions of their lives, families, marriages, he believed. Even now, today in the ministry, Pastor Charlie, you hear him sometimes beseeching. It's almost like sometimes there's no response from the other side. In some countries, you have to go into the army for 1 year minimum. I think in this ministry, we'll start a rule. Everybody has to go to the mission field for 6 months. Tell you have a problem, boyfriend, girlfriend problem, you have a problem with lust patterns and all this stuff that some of the people in here they live in defiance, go to the mission field, go to Orissa, I'll Dilipatnaik take you to a place 25 kilometers from where he lives, where there's only one light bulb. Be so transformed, there will be no detox necessary. You know what the devil says? You need therapy. You are like this because your father was like this, your family was like this. No. All it takes for deliverance is death. When two people in a marriage relationship are having differences, I won't say problem, it's a much milder word. All it takes for one person is to pick up the cross. That's it. If that one person is willing to take the place of death, there is the possibility and the potential for deliverance and victory in that relationship. But you know what happens to people? Pastor said it today in one word, but I won't repeat it. They want retribution. They want, and they will remind the person like a file, it comes, and they get a printout. It is so accurately typed, and that too in color. HP, DeskJet, 3D. That is a clear sign that the person is still living in Adam, as it were, but not in Christ. Therefore, it is important for one person to pick up their cross. Because the other person cannot see life unless somebody is willing to pick up their cross. Do you want to know about people in the ministry? Go to the person concerned, he'll tell you. Don't have a meeting with 5-6 people discussing other people in the church. If you want to know where Guru and his wife are going, go and ask Pastor Guru, I heard you're going, is that true? Correct. How many times people get together in a soulish way and have a prayer time on their knees? Anybody? Have you ever felt defiled when you were fellowshipping with God and people came in and they came in as a root of bitterness and they contaminated that environment through an unclean spirit and you felt unclean after they left because you were a partaker in their conversations? And if you don't feel unclean after that, then something is wrong in your relationship with God. You know what? And sometimes someone comes like that, they come like this and they try to defile you. Maybe because you don't have headship, just get on your knees like this and say, "Dear Jesus, we just thank you for these brethren come here today." They'll disappear. Have a prayer meeting. Just go on your knees and they will never touch you again. Because they will know that there's no point going to this guy, because when we go, they'll get on his knees. And stay on your knees until they go away. Because you don't want to become a victim of that spirit. I have a few points and then I'm going to end. So we have here honor. The next is in the call of God, there is a lack that people have in missions. Pros ana plero in 2 Corinthians 11:9 means there was something that was given in addition to, something to supplement. Sometimes we missionaries don't receive much money. It's amazing that they still stay on the field. And then once in a way, there will be a gift that we can give them because maybe we had some extra money in the faith missions. And I get a letter saying, or call saying, "Thank you so much for giving that money because it really met this particular need." Pros ana plereo, in addition to supplement. Missionaries have to write letters to mission boards, pleading with them for the work they are doing. Nothing wrong with that. But we don't need our missionaries to write letters to us because we are the body of Christ. The next one is afflictions. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 1:24 is not complaining for suffering, but he says it, "I fill up that which is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the body's sake." He recognizes that these afflictions that he is going through is necessary on behalf of the body of Christ. If the body of Christ in Colossians 1:28 and 29 have to be brought to a place of maturity, that I might present you perfect in Christ. Then the next one is faith. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3:10, Paul is telling the Thessalonians, "I want to come to you so that I would be complete. I would complete ana plereo, to fill up that which is lacking in relationship to your faith." That means what I want to come here and I want to fill up that which is lacking. I am concerned about your condition as a church and I am wanting to come down and I'm wanting to fill it. Do you know why we get calls? Why these men come from overseas here? Pastor Shibeli is, I don't know, maybe close to 70. He travels. He's going to China, three places. He's going to Nepal. He's going to come to Bangalore. Then he's going to Mumbai. And he's sitting down there on his chair and he's looking at her and says, I just love it. 70 years old. You know why they come? Because they have an opportunity to complete what is lacking in our faith. Interesting. The next one, before I finish for the umpteen time, is companionship and the lack of service that was there for Paul when he was in house arrest many times and he was in prison or whatever. In Philippians chapter 2:30 and 1 Corinthians 16:17, Epaphroditus and Stephanas and Fortunatus came in and they supplied the lack that was there in relationship to the service of the saints. They came there and they befriended the apostle Paul in that situation. Because Paul oftentimes in his journeys faced loneliness, and these people came forward and they supplied to Paul the service of the saints. Can you imagine that? That is why I'm praying that every couple that goes out on a team has a team member there. And then, because it is important to have that, to build them up. I told these men, pray that someone can come on the team with you and pray and believe, because that supply is absolutely necessary. And then we have this amazing principle in 4:11, which is beautiful, and that Paul says, I have learned to live having much, and I have learned also to live having lack. In whatever situation I am, I have learned how to be what? I love that. I love that. That means, thank God for His provision that is available to us at all times, but also thank God for the contentment He gives us when we are in this situation. So, God guarantees the believer rest. Correct? He guarantees him. Does he want it? He guarantees the believer a full provision of not coming short of grace. Does the believer need it? Will he want it? He guarantees the person that comes into the body that doesn't have honor. Will that believer be in a place of receiving it from others that he might seemingly not agree with? Correct? God guarantees that I will be perfected in my faith. Do I want to be perfected in it? Through a spiritual gift of the Apostle Paul in Romans 1:11. God guarantees the fact that I will suffer for the body's sake in my affliction. Will I want to identify with my brethren in the call of God as I suffer affliction for the body's sake? Would I want that? God guarantees the fact that He will supply a friend to us in time of need, like Epaphroditus, Timothy, Stephanas, Fortunatus, all these people listed, and Aquila and Priscilla. He guarantees the fact that but He also guarantees the fact that he will be our contentment. He is our contentment. He is our sufficiency in 2 Corinthians 3:5. At all times in those areas that we lack. And everything else that He does for us complements it. Isn't that an amazing way to live? In the body of Christ. So whatever our lack is in the kingdom of God, God has determined to supply it. I'm going to close with that. Whatever our lack is in the kingdom, God has determined to supply it. And if in some way I have not been in a position of receiving my supply, then He will teach me how to be content in it. Okay. You have an offering song here? So Father, we thank You for this word today. That we are rich in You, the body of Christ. We are lacking many things, and there are people that will always look at us outwardly and think that but spiritually speaking, we have been enriched by You. And we thank You for the abundant supply that comes in directly from You, and also through indirectly into the body of Christ. Thank you for that. Thank you for filling us up every day. Thank you for the measure of our cup, which is constantly full. Sometimes it may not be that full, but then many times it's running over, and we thank you for it. Bless each one in the body of Christ and the decisions that some have made here to come to church, to come to Bible school. We just pray that you will take this message and it will minister to their hearts, that they will know tonight that you have spoken, and that the things that they are looking for with in anticipation, that you will do what you have promised. Help people not to vacillate, to look back, to withdraw, to enter into retrogression, digression. None of these things, Father, but to recognize that in the body of Christ, as we are baptized together by the Holy Spirit, our supply will come from you, because you are our source, and you are our source, and you are our supply. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.